so that we could be those ambassadors for His Son. He called us to do this. He called us to fulfill a ministry to the world. Just like Israel had a ministry to the world. They were God's servants. They were the ones that God chose to represent Him in a pagan world. In a world that had been transferred over to the adversary and to His kingdom. He chose Israel as a nation to represent Him and to show the world what following the true God could do for you. Anytime they followed the true God and they fulfilled the calling that God had called them out to do, why, they had no enemies that were greater than them. And the adversary and all that he endeavored to do to kill them off so that he could kill off that line of believers that would eventually come to the Christ and make the Christ available, none of it worked. None of it worked out too well for the old adversary, because God was working in those believers. God was working in Israel. God was working before Israel. In the patriarchs, He was working in Noah and his heart. He was working in Job. He was working in all of these people to fulfill what God had called them out to do. And that's the same for us. God has called us out for a specific purpose, to make known to the world the true God as a Father and how He has enabled us to do it. I was looking at this on Sunday. I don't know that it will be exactly what I shared on Sunday, but some of it will be. But chapter 1 of Thessalonians, in verse 5, it says, "For our gospel," well, it says in verse 2, "We always give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering," verse 3, "without ceasing, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, your calling of God, the way God has elected you, He has called you. For our gospel," it says in verse 5, "came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." You know, when Paul and Silvanus and Timothy came to the church in Thessalonica, it was not for them. It was for, well, they didn't come to a church. They came to an unbelieving city when they first came, right? And when they came to those people in Thessalonica, it wasn't just for their own selves. It wasn't for Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. It was for those people in Thessalonica. It was for those people, right? It was for their sake that they did what they did and they spoke what they spoke. And what they spoke was the gospel. It was good news. It wasn't fear. They weren't trying to make them afraid of hell or a lack of eternal life. They weren't endeavoring to make them afraid of the wrath of God if they did not believe. They brought them good news. The gospel is good news in regards to Jesus Christ and His giving of His life and His redeeming accomplishments. But it says that it wasn't just in word. It wasn't in word only, but it was in power. It was also in power. They spoke the good news. And as they spoke the good news, this is what God had called them out for. This is what God has called all of us for. He's given us eternal life. That's a gift. He's given us that power of Holy Spirit within us. That's a gift. And we can utilize it. We can make the proper use of it in our day-by-day life. If we but recognize that we have good news to share with people. We have very good news. I mean, there's not much good news out there in the world, right? But we have good news. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and because of that, we have exceeding great and precious promises made available to us. God wants to take care of us now as a father. He wants to care for us, His children. That's good news. But it wasn't just the speaking of it. It says it was in power and in Holy Spirit. The power came because of that Holy Spirit resident within them, just like it is resident within you and me and any born-again believer. And it says, in much assurance. Much assurance is genuine persuasion, is what Murdoch translates the Aramaic text or the Peshitta text with that phrase. It's a genuine persuasion. See, this isn't just enticing words of man's wisdom that persuades people to come and follow you. This is the genuine persuasion that comes with a manifestation of power. When you speak, and it doesn't have to be just a miracle of healing that you provide for someone, it can be inspired utterance. It can be you speaking the words that God gives you to an individual that changes their life, that heals them, that gets them to see that, wow, yeah, God really is real. God really is at work within your life to bless another person's life. You know, this is how they saw their lives. This is how they proceeded when they went out from town to town, city to city, village to village, to proclaim the good news. They realized that, hey, we have Christ in us. We can do the works that Christ did. And not always did Christ change someone's life just by ministering healing to them or casting out devil spirits. Right? Sometimes He changed a person's... I remember one record, right, when He told the woman things that He wasn't able to know by His five senses. He got it. God showed Him. Yeah, you're not married. You've had seven, or whatever it was. You've had three. I forget what the record was exactly. But it was by speaking by the Spirit of God within Him that He changed this person's life. She recognized that You must be a prophet. But more than that, you're the Messiah. This was a life-changing moment. And we can provide that for people as we recognize what God has really called us to and what good news we do have to share with people. And this is something that God has privileged all of us with. It says in 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians, yeah. First we'll see verse 4. Of chapter 2. You know, it says this was their attitude. It says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. See, God has entrusted us with this gospel. He's entrusted it to us, this good news. Who else is going to tell people what great things God has for them other than the people who know? Now, there are some people that think that God doesn't have very good things for them and they tell them bad things. And yet that's not what the word gospel means. The word gospel means good news. It's not good news to tell anybody that they may be condemned because of their lifestyle. That's not good news. You know, what we need to do is share the good news with people and recognize that we have been allowed of God to be put in trust with this gospel. And the word allowed there, it's that word in the Greek that is translated approved, right? In 2 Timothy 2:15, where we are to study or be very diligent to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen, laborers that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, speaking, teaching the word of God the same way, each and every time. It never changes. Truth is truth. It never changes. It's not true today and not true tomorrow. We always speak the absolute truths of God's Word. And that's what we seek to be diligent about. And in that, we have approval. In that, we are approved before God. This is why they were put in trust with that gospel. Because they had that heart and that desire to speak it. And so, they spoke. not as pleasing men, but God. Because there will be people that want to shut you up. They want to tell you not to speak. Right? It's what Kathy mentioned last week, you know, how that some of the trends in the world. Right? Well, this is certainly one of them. You know, where you begin to speak the truth about God and about His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of Holy Spirit that comes with the new birth and the ability that you have as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And people want you to shut up. Don't talk about it. You can't say, you can't talk about that around here. Well, why not? Those guys talked about it. They didn't get met with open arms all the time. They got met with stones sometimes. Great opposition. See, we are to be instant in season and out of season, it says, I think, in Peter. Is that by preaching the Word. You preach the Word. You're ready to preach, whether it's convenient or whether it's not. You're ready to proclaim the good news. That's all preaching is. That's all preaching means, you know. Some people have a bad connotation about the word preach and what a preacher does. All it means is to proclaim the good news. Just say it. God's wonderful. God did great things for me. God healed me. God delivered me of devil spirits. God has done great things for me. That's preaching how good God is. That's good news. All by the grace of God. That's all preaching is. And it's by the Spirit of God too. That's true preaching is when the Spirit of God is at work within you and you're speaking those words that the Spirit inspires you to speak. It's not just sitting down with the Bible and reading it to someone. You read because God says, hey, go to this verse, read this to them. This will bless them. Right? You do that. By the Spirit. That's how these guys did it. That's how they were able to, as it says in chapter 1, verse 5, bring them to this point of genuine persuasion because they walked by the Spirit of God within them. See? And it's this Spirit of God that works within each of us as we believe. It says in verse 13 of chapter 2, right? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you received of us, as they came in and they spoke and they proclaimed that good news, those people that were listening considered it for what it really genuinely was, the Word of God. It wasn't just Paul speaking, it wasn't just Timothy or Silvanus. It was the words of God they were speaking, not just their own words. See, they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. Effectually works in you that believe. One definition or translation that I saw, and I'm not sure where it was, this word energeo in the Greek, to effectually work, it's to put forth power. To put forth power in you that believe. As we receive the Word of God, as we believe it without any doubt, this Word of God puts forth power in you as you believe. And in putting forth that power in you, it extends to those you're speaking to. It changes people's lives. That's what the Word of God should do. That's what it has done for each of us, right? It's changed our lives. You would not have wanted to know me before I became a true believer. Well, maybe some of you would have before you became a believer. But I don't know about that. What I do know is I was not very pleasing to my Heavenly Father, that's for sure. Even after I was born again, I still walked as a carnal man. See? Not really knowing all that God had allowed me to be in this life. Just like He has allowed each of us. He has equipped us. He has enabled us. And we have a great desire that we want to give people this genuine persuasion also. We want this Word of God to be put forth with great power. And it's done that way when we recognize why it is we're doing what we're doing. Right? Why do we do what we do? Why do we have this passion? It's because God's called us to it. And each of us, He's called each of us individually, and He wants us each to be blessed in how we live our lives and how we live for Him in our lives. The things that we do, whether we're seeking to break into, you know, the acting realm, you know, like Chance. Chance is a great actor. Have you ever hang out with Chance? He's got a zillion different characters. And he's just it's going to be wonderful. Somebody's going to just hit a gold mine when they find Chance out there because of how talented he is. And yet he does what he does, and he knows who he is now in Christ. He knows why it is that he will be successful and will want to be successful. Not for himself, but so that others may know how great God is and how God can bring you to those things that you have a heart to do and you desire to do. You know, if you're a small businessman like Thad, God gives you opportunity to make Him known, just like anyone, each of us, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. But when we choose to do it because we have been entrusted with this gospel. God has entrusted it to us. It's a word of reconciliation. It's a word of truth that reconciles men and women back to God. Shows them who He is and draws them into Him. Draws them back to Him with genuine persuasion. Not just with words. Not word by word only, but also in power, which is because of that Holy Spirit within us. And this is a great way to live life. It's exciting because every day we can anticipate the Spirit of God working within us to bring something good to somebody. To say something that will change their life, change their perspective. To cast out a devil spirit from someone that's being oppressed by him. To bring people to that point of faith where they can believe God to heal their spine completely and totally. This is what God's called us to. You know? And this is why we pray that God would open doors for us and for others. Right? This is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." To have free course is literally to run swiftly. That's what the New King James translates it. Pray that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, even as it is with you believers in Thessalonica, even as it is with you. And you know, when you read Thessalonians, you see that they were the model church. They were the church that really showed and exemplified what being sons and daughters of God and being that called out group of people, sons and daughters of God, what it was really all about. Like we read, their work of faith in verse 1, chapter 3. Their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience, waiting, just waiting for the Lord to come back. Every day they anticipated that. Every day they anticipated, wow, today He could come back today. So live. Live free. He could come back today. Be blessed. Be excited. Anticipate great things. So even as the Word was glorified with them, He desired their prayers for Him, for us, for Paul and to Silvanus, that the Word of the Lord could run swiftly with them just like it was in Thessalonica. It's 2 Thessalonians. If you were thumbing through your 2 Timothy, I led you wrong. Led you to the wrong place. So 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified even as it is with you. That's why we continue to pray. for open doors, for the Word of God to run swiftly, for it to move. You know, we want the Word of God to move, the true Word, not just a nice sermon on Sundays at all these churches, but we want the Word of God, the true Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We want that to run swiftly and be glorified. Because when it is, and when it's received with faith, with believing, it puts forth power in those that believe. And that's what we desire. You know? So, what a great calling that God has called us to. This is why God has made us His kids. Not only just to bless us, to take care of us, to protect us, to bless our lives with an abundance in every category, with great peace, you know, all the great things that God has promised to give us, but also to share His good news, right? To share it with others and make sure we share it with great power, because that's what it should be every time we proclaim it. Every time we share just a little bit with someone and encourage them to trust God, to believe God, we also trust and believe God to speak as He inspires us to speak.